Welcome to the fourth hangout for the Weird for Good blog, and I'm glad to have anyone here that's watching on Facebook or watching from YouTube or our Facebook link or my blog. My name is Aaron Nichols, and I'm welcoming Michael Wright, who is a blogger from fatherofone.com, to join us again on our weekly hangout, and we invite you guys that are out there watching this to join us on a future hangout session. Today we're going to go over my most recent blog post, came out last Friday, and it's called Exhausting Lovemaking on Valentine's Day. So first thing I will say about that blog is that I normally have about 60 readers a week, say average. This blog has been read 305 times since Friday. I don't know if that has to do with the title of Exhausting Lovemaking on Valentine's Day, but I would say if you have a blog and you have an idea to put a racy title with it, that might get you some more reads. I don't know. I think it's turned out to be a pretty good blog overall, and I've gotten lots of compliments on it. So anyway, it's all about a hectic, crazy, wildly active night at the restaurant, the Branding Iron, which is in Princeton, Kansas, which my wife and her brother and her dad own. And anyway, it was Valentine's night. It was a big special dinner. So I won't read the blog. That's what we're doing now. I'm not going to read the whole blog for you. It will be linked up in the video description below, so I invite you to check that out. But first of all, Michael, I'll ask you, have you ever worked at a restaurant before? Do you have any restaurant working experience?
Oh, college, yeah. College, fast food-ish kind of thing. I've worked at a Subway-ish kind of place, privately owned thing. That was my extent of it, about a year, yeah. Yeah, it can get, okay. I understand it can get busy. Probably not like the Branding Iron, but...
Well, so you know what it's like. You know, you're in the mode of helping people, serving people. There's a line there. In our case, you know, it's a dining area and bar area full of people. And from my perspective, where the blog is told, is I'm the fry boy. I'm like the lowest on the totem pole of the cooks, the three cooks, which are the owners of the restaurant, which is Chad, Lindsay's brother, and my wife, Lindsay, and myself. And so I kind of tell the story from that place of a busy night in the restaurant. And, you know, I think it just goes to show there's sometimes in life and in this job, in this certain night, which doesn't happen every night at this restaurant, it was the most active night that's probably ever happened in that building, that we can really rise to the occasion and we can accept so much information coming at us. We can accomplish so many things right in a row, and we're really just going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. And you probably did that making sandwiches, you know, in college at times too, where you're really, your mind didn't have anywhere else to go but just at the task at hand. And so when I describe this in the blog, I say that in that moment where there is so much going on, so much is happening, you are constantly in motion, that I actually call that a moment of peace. And I think we mostly think of peace as a tranquil sort of like sedentary, you're cross-legged, maybe the lotus position or something, you know, on a big cushion of clouds as peace. But I'm gonna throw this out there. Do you think peace can be described in this way, or have you ever felt that before?
Yeah, it's like you got all these different pieces of this well-oiled machine, but maybe you didn't know it was that well-oiled. And when all these things kind of come together, the word harmony and peace kind of, it's like all you guys were in harmony with each other. You know, you each had your place, and you just kind of worked together for a common good, and that is peace. That is, you know, that kind of environment can either be peaceful or it can be chaotic, you know. And so, I mean, that's, yeah, it makes sense to me. Yeah, just have this sense of purpose of why you're there.
Yeah, so everyone's moving in one direction together. We all kind of have the same overall goal, which is to serve our patrons, serve our customers the best of our ability. And I think so many times the cultural backdrop is sort of like, we want to get to a level of comfort. Like, we're always looking for, you know, working for the weekend. We're like trying to get to that comfortable place where, you know, we're not at work, where we don't have some bunch of activities going on or something. We just want peace. We just want to find this space where we don't have anything to do. And this is the 180 degree exact opposite of that. This is you have so much to do that you have zero time for your mind to wander, no time for your mind to worry about the future, no time for your mind to think about the past. It's like you really do lock into that present moment of just what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. And so I'm saying that's a sort of piece that I doubt we usually go out looking for, you know. Certain people I think do. Like, yeah, I love watching, you know, I don't know, rock climbers or something, you know, on the, you know, some guy that's got no rope and he's climbing up the half dome at Yosemite. There's some videos out there you can look up on that. And it's like he's in a peaceful moment because it's either you do the right next step or you die. And so your mind can't wander in that place. Pretty amazing place to be, even in the back of a restaurant, you know, making fries and appetizers for people. Not quite going to die if I screw it up. But you sort of feel that way, you know? You sort of feel like it's just all right. All of life is happening right then, and you're really trying your best to make something happen for those people. So maybe you find that, you know, just in your family life, you know, at different times, I know there's things that we, Lindsay and I, have a different lifestyle, no kids, that sort of thing, but where it's just what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next, and you're actually energized in that process.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. Don't really have one coming to me. But you just have those busy days, and you have these certain days where things just kind of flow, and you wake up and your feet hit the floor, and you're like, wow, I've got 12 things to do, and that's just before lunch. And then when you just really just go from 1 to 2 all the way to 12, I don't know that you... By lunchtime, you do have this peace. It's kind of like, wow, how did I do so much? How did I, you know, I didn't get hung up on thinking about how, you know, number one, the number one thing to do on my list, what had to be done and how it was going to affect my life. You just did it and you moved on. And so there is a time and place for action and moving along and having some successes, and it brings a sense of accomplishment, you know. You guys certainly accomplished a lot on Valentine's Day. You sold, sounds like you sold all of your steaks, a week's worth of steaks in one night. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, that's true. We had sold more than what we had expected to sell for the whole weekend as far as some of those specials went. We had set stuff out to sell throughout the weekend, and it was all gone halfway through the night. So, you know, we were in disbelief ourselves as far as running out of things, and then, you know, customers were a little bit, you know, in disbelief too, because they're like, you know, it's not even late yet and you're already out of the stuff we want. So, you know, that's something that I want to talk about a little bit here in the, that I brought up in the blog, is like, here's some things that happen in a moment where everything is in this one point a harmonious machine and a well-oiled machine, but it doesn't mean that it's a perfectly smooth, you know, I guess perfectly smooth, like one thing perfectly follows another. It's like it is controlled chaos, really, because there's mistakes happening. So I'll just say kind of here's in that world. This is straight out of the blog. In that world, you know, worry doesn't exist. There's no space for it. Self-consciousness, holding back, doesn't exist. It's like there is a need. I can help. I'll do it now. You know, needing to be motivated or have willpower is a ridiculous concept when you're in a time like this. Stuff needs done. I'll be the one to do it. You know, you can see it's just clear. I will take that step right now. Social norms or being polite or staying out of each other's way can't happen. In our restaurant, we happen to have a very small kitchen area. And so the three cooks are literally standing just about shoulder to shoulder in a row. And in between us, we're also in the space that someone needs to walk past to get some things out of the cooler sometimes, or we need to pass things back and forth. So, I mean, it's not, you just can't be polite and kind of beat around the bush about anything. It's like you are rubbing, pushing, you know, you are moving past each other at all times. And so, and then the last thing I mentioned is that perfectness or doing it all correctly doesn't exist either. Mistakes are happening. It's part of the process. And this is from my coach, Megan Silito. She says, act fast, fail fast, adjust fast. So, you know, you're constantly making a move, and then you're seeing that it didn't work the way you wanted, then you're immediately making a change to fix that. And so act fast, fail fast, adjust fast. It's not like get it all lined up right and then follow the steps 1 through 7 to make it work. It's like just do something, and then when it breaks, fix it. Do something, when you mess it up, do it again better the next time. And I think just in those few bullet points, there's a lot of things that keep us stuck in our everyday lives. You know, self-consciousness, thinking that we need to be motivated or have willpower, or thinking that we shouldn't make a mistake or fail. You know, those are things that really, in our big picture of our life, keeps us from moving on to that next thing.
Well, the thing about failure is if you're worried about failing, then you're right. I mean, you just are at some point. No. I mean, anybody that's ever done anything is probably going to make more mistakes. You know, Babe Ruth had more strikeouts than anybody. But yet they don't remember how many strikeouts he had. They remember how many home runs he had. You know, how many failed interventions did Edison have? He just kept churning them out because it's just what he did. I mean, he spent his whole life trying to perfect the light bulb. And anybody will tell you the light bulb, the standard light bulb, is very inefficient. I mean, it's cheap. So that's why people, you know, like to buy them. But it's not the most efficient thing. It's not a perfect product by any means. But when he had it invented, he said, that's good enough. And people have been using it for, I don't know, how long? 100 years? I don't know. The same one he invented. Same. Nothing's changed. So yeah, I mean, it's not going to be perfect. But, yeah, you're going to fail in some way, or you can critique something to death, but you've done something. And there's certainly a piece that you can have when you do something, contribute.
Yeah, and I remember the story with Edison too, where I think maybe I want to say the number was like he was almost at his like 10,000th prototype by the time he got to the one that we are so familiar with. I mean, he had failed 1,000 times, 2,000 times, 3,000 times, 4,000 times. Like personally, I crawl in my shell when I make one small mistake on one little, you know, like I was telling you before we got started, I felt like in the second or third one of these hangouts, I said about every 2 seconds. So I'm beating myself up over something that, you know, overall trivial, but yet are we willing to go out and really try and really swing for the fences and really make some failures? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves. You know, what scares me? Can I do it? Okay, yeah, I'll try that, you know, and fail or not fail, I'm glad I tried it. So, yeah, I'm just as susceptible to to that self-consciousness around failure as anybody, probably more so than everybody else that I know. Just because I see it all in my own head, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know yourself better than, in some aspects better than the most. At least you can, we always beat ourselves up more than someone else will. Unless you got a well-paid coach and they do the beating up for you. Or they should. Yeah. Or they should.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they should, because that really helps us to move forward. So I'm gonna do one more thing here, because today we're gonna keep this pretty tight. You know, we have used the word busy in this hangout together, even just to in general describe, you know, the night at the Branding Iron or a busy family day of yours. But I do point out in the blog that, you know, busy is a word that has kind of been ruined in my mind in the cultural backdrop. At least, I mean, I'm just going to say where I live in my little circle of the world, that is sort of the benchmark question that everyone asks each other, and then everyone replies, "Yes, I'm busy." Like, I'll see you, Michael, at the store. "Hi, Michael, how are you doing? Are you busy?" "Yep, I'm busy." And then we go on our way, you know. And I think there's a runaway train of assumptions that everybody has in their mind, at least I do, about what that even means. Rarely does the word busy really look like what we were that night at the restaurant, where literally every move I was making with my body was a move to accomplish a task. Every thought needed to be a thought that's pointed on accomplishing my task. I mean, that might be a pretty accurate situation to use the word busy, but I think it's sort of gotten this generalized thing like, I'm gonna just read off the blog, but it says, you know, it's a lame excuse for not being our best selves. We use busy to explain why we're not doing what we really want to be doing or why we can't commit to something great. You know, it's like, I'm a normal person, I'm doing my little part, I'm not going to share anything or really say what's going on because I'm just, you know, I'm busy. And I just want to point that out and really just ask that question to my blog readers, to you, to the world that's going to hear the question. Does anybody else see a problem with that but just me? Or is it just me?
No. Well, one thing is that people expect you to say busy, and you you almost feel bad if you don't say that you're busy. Oh, you're not busy? Oh, what are you doing with your life? But their definition of busy, as you say, is not always busy. We all have 24 hours. We're all busy technically doing something. Mm. So technically we're all busy, but is it on the busy scale, is it on this end where you're busy watching reruns of Seinfeld, or are you on this end where you're busy with every minute looking around for that next thing where you've got to be in a certain place, if people are asking for this, you're required to be here, you've got things, you're just running around and doing, serving others in a way that you don't have time to think about, even if you're doing a really, you know, the best job possible, you're just doing your best. It's almost like war. You could think of it as wartime versus, you know, being on a cruise ship versus being on maybe a battleship. You can certainly be busy on a cruise ship. You can lay out in the sun on the deck chairs. You can play volleyball probably. I've never been on a cruise ship, so I don't know what they do. You can eat to your heart's content, and you will be busy. Or you can get the AK-47s and the batting rams, and you're fighting for life. Both people technically are busy, but one is leading to something, to a greater cause. The other one is just, you know, it's just occupying time and space. So, I agree. The definition of busy is, as with a lot of words, has been, you know, it's almost like, tell me more. Tell me about your busyness, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, I love that example of the cruise ship versus the battleship. Did you hear that one in Free Agent Academy? Because I think I remember that from maybe Gary Barkalow or somebody in Free Agent Academy. I loved that.
Well, I kind of stole it from just analogy of the Christian life, I think, which made sense. You know, how do you view life? Are you in a battle or are you on a cruise ship? You know. To me, this issue is still the same with what you're talking about. Just as you go through your life, what is your view of the world? I mean, are you here to take it easy? Are you here to roll up your sleeves and get with it? I mean,
well, I love that, and I would look at that. I'm going to do a blog on this sometime soon, but you know, recreation is something that my life used to really be focused around. Recreation. I mean, I had at one point in life, I had a big four-wheel drive truck, I had a Jeep, I had two four-wheelers, I had two motorcycles, bicycles, you know, all this stuff so I could be constantly in recreation. But if you split that word down, it's like, what is that word? Re-creation. You know, it's like I'm going to participate in an activity that makes sort of an activity out of a creation. But what if I just get involved in creation instead of recreation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the difference between a battleship or a cruise ship. It's like I need to go on a cruise ship so that I can go feel like I'm accomplishing something and feel like I'm indulging myself and really, you know, adding experience to my life. But how much experience are the men on the battleship creating and they're accomplishing something and they're, you know, either defending something or they're, you know, really stretching themselves and their character is growing, not just their belly, their waistline is growing, you know, in the two different scenarios.
That's another way to be busy, right? I've been that kind of busy before with the ice cream bowl, but yeah.
Yeah, hey, and I love eating. I love eating. But I think it's really worth discussing, and I've gotten some comments on the blog on that, about what are we saying when we say we're busy? Is it just a mask? Is it just a cover? And I would even say, too, that something that maybe you would understand and some of the people that watch this would understand is that if I intentionally block out time to sit and, you know, be with God, or if I intentionally block out time to sit and work on my goals or work on or just being still and walking for ideas that's towards a purpose or just as part of something that I see as a healthy way to treat my life, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's much different than sitting and just flipping through the rerun channels. And I do both at different times, even without a TV in the living room. You know, I've got the computer here, so YouTube can get my attention, and we're on YouTube. So, but, you know, two very different things. An intentional practice where I listen to audio programs of mentors or people that have accomplished something that I think it would be cool to accomplish. Doing this hangout with you right now. These are things that, would I be weird if I told someone just walking through my everyday life, you know, what are you up to? Oh, well, I'm doing a hangout online, you know, with a friend of mine in Georgia, and we hope that someone will watch it and get a new idea or will enhance their experience of life or challenge them, you know. It's like, is that what most people think when they're saying that they're busy? I'm asking that question out there.
Yeah, they would say, you got time to do that junk? You goofing off on the computer? You're not busy.
Exactly.
You need to have four kids like me, then you'll be busy. But honestly, you can have whatever you've got at home, or whatever, you can be single, you can have 10 kids. You can still be busy or not busy. You can ignore those kids and just still watch TV. And I know a lot of people do that, you know. Doesn't matter. But I was just thinking one thing, Aaron. If you did tell someone that and they called you weird, You say, no, it's not weird. It's weird for good. No.
You know, if I was as sharp as you, Michael, I certainly would do that.
No, never let anybody call you weird. Say, no, I'm weird for good. So just .com. So.
Yeah, .com. Exactly.
.com. So.
Plug myself in regular conversations at the store. So, yeah, that would be cool. Well, I think that's a good way to wrap things up. But I love teeing up that question, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some more at different times. But you know, it's really worth asking ourselves, what are we busy with? I do have a quote that I happen to include on a little package. I put out a package over the weekend for an auction, donation auction. But so here's the quote: Henry David Thoreau. It is not enough to be busy. So are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about? So, what are we busy about? And I think, Michael, you've got some cool stuff you're busy about. You told me you were up early this morning reading and writing and you know, doing some really introspective things. Wonderful thing to be busy about. So props to you for that. And, you know, I hope that some of this stuff I'm busy with is helping someone else out there. So,
It is.
Cool, man. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just let's go be busy, right?
Yeah.
Let's go be busy on the right things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And small things at a time, right? So let's just do it in small ways. Let's not try to tackle the whole world and then give up after 5 minutes, but let's do it in small ways and really stay with it.
But you know, one passing thing I'll say is I found it's much more efficient to be busy about one thing at a time. So whether you're playing with your child or you're writing or you're at work, just be busy one thing at a time. Even if it's serving one customer, go find some stuff, just focus on that one thing, even if it's only 30 minutes, 30 seconds, minute.
Absolutely.
I find it works out best that way. So,
yep, for me, very good. Be in the present moment. Do what's next. And we'll just say what's next and take care of that. So, all right. Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate your time once again. And thanks to everyone who's watching this online.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. Bye. Bye.